waste your breath, lean into yourself. Here's what I know is true. Well, the sun hasn't left, the sea still has depth, the rain's still wet. Try not to forget.
Very good. Okay, good morning. Glad you're here today. So nice to see so much red, white, and blue in the room today. Happy 4th of July. I hope you have a great weekend celebrating that with your friends and family. I see a lot of adult children of some of our folks here today, so welcome. We're glad that you're here. By the way, we have this thing called the Atlantic Ocean near here, so come back anytime and join us. Come see your folks and bring folks with you. And today, just because you're here, some of your children are here today, we're going to talk about giving. So I just thought you got here on a good day. We're going to do a series entitled Contagious Generosity for the next few weeks, and I hope you'll come back and be with us when you can or join us online. Thank you for joining us online today. And if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Psalm 37. We're going to get there in just a second. And if you need a Bible, we have some back there, or you can maybe pull it up on a Bible app or something like that. We're going to be using a book by Barry Cameron kind of as our guide, use some of his ideas and thoughts on this. So I just want you to know up front that that some of this is not completely mine. I'm just borrowing some ideas from this book called Contagious Generosity. And while you're finding Psalm 37, let me again say what Micah said. I didn't hear what he said about emails, but I can tell you that if you email him, he won't know because he has 40,000 emails in his inbox, right? Nothing wrong with that, right? We have a few people who know that. So, but yeah, Wednesday night, we'd love for you to come back. We'll have a meal together. If your family's still here, please bring them. It's going to be a good night. We also have our summer jam with our children's ministry. That's going to be really fun. Also, I just asked some of our leadership in the Exploring Hope group. They will meet tomorrow night, even though some people are off. Our leader said he explores hope every day, but yes, he will have the class or the group tomorrow night. And also, I just wanted to mention, we have a prayer team that they're going to begin meeting again. They kind of took some time off during the pandemic, but they're going to start meeting. But if you're not involved with the prayer team or you would like to be, just email info@tworiverschurch.com, and we'll connect you with Gail Lehman, and she leads that team, and she'll help you. I just love that we have people who are dedicated to prayer and praying for your needs as a church family, praying for each other, praying for me, praying for whatever's going on in the life of our church. On a regular, weekly, almost, well, really daily basis, someone is praying for our church. So we thank them for that. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, just let us know and we'll get you connected. So next few weeks, we're going to talk about contagious generosity. And one of the things that's impressed on me is this, that through the years, my wife Bonnie and I have been the recipients of others' generosity. Like, if you've lived any amount of life, you know that there are times when people are generous to you. And it takes a little bit of grace to receive someone else's generosity. You have to learn. I've learned how to just say thank you. You know, like sometimes I think we get kind of wound up in that. But we've been the recipients of generosity, and we've been on trips with folks from church, from Nashville to Florida to Myrtle Beach. We've been given things that we like, as simple as fresh vegetables. Sometimes our neighbors just bring vegetables over our house. People bring us cakes or pies or clothes for our girls as they've grown up. And we've even had friends give us, one time a guy gave me his old truck and I drove that thing forever, you know, it seemed like, until I wrecked it. And then earlier, it's a true story, earlier this year I was invited to go to Florida with some friends, and I love to play golf, and so one week was in the Florida Keys. Bonnie ended up not going. She and my buddy's wife didn't get to go. Bonnie's mother got sick right when we were getting ready to leave, and so she didn't get to go. So the other trip was to Orlando to play golf with a couple of friends. And, you know, people just are generous to us through the years, and I'm sure you've experienced that. That first trip we stayed right on the Gulf of Mexico, it was so pretty. The only downside of that trip was that Bonnie didn't get to go, so it would have been a little more fun if the girls were there. The second trip was equally fun. I played golf a bunch, and even got to play a famous, if you watch golf, I got to play TPC Sawgrass over in near Jacksonville, Florida. And both trips were the result of someone else's generosity. I've been to Nashville, I've seen concerts, I've done things. But here's the takeaway for me, and I think this is very true. What happens when someone is generous to you? I know for me, it makes me want to be generous to someone else. Have you ever noticed that? Like when someone is kind to you, when someone gives you something maybe unexpected or something, it kind of grows, and it is sort of reciprocal, or it makes you want to be generous to someone else, because I believe this to be true. Generosity is contagious. I read about a coffee shop in Oregon that proves this fact. One morning, a customer in the drive-thru, in an act of kindness and generosity, not only paid for their own coffee, but paid for the, you know, the mocha of the guy or the latte of the car behind them. So that second customer, when they got to the window, didn't have to pay. They paid for the person behind them. And this went on, as I read, as unbelievable as it seems, this string of kindness and generosity, one stranger paying for the coffee of the next customer, continued for 2 hours, while one person just paid for the next person. 27 customers 2 hours later, because generosity is simply contagious. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of generosity. And yes, we're going to connect that with how we're generous towards God and generous towards the church. But I want us to leave this series with a new outlook, a new attitude towards the things that we have, the things that God has blessed us with. You know, for the last year and a half, we've been inundated with the news about COVID, you know, virus, it's contagious, right? Does everybody know that, right? It's touched all of us in some form or fashion, some closer than others, some to more degree than others, but it's touched all of us. We've been told to wash our hands, wear a mask, sanitize, get vaccinated. And what I hope will happen in the next few weeks is that we will all get infected. Not with COVID, but with the spirit of generosity. Right? Because generosity, too, can be contagious. What if we allowed this spirit to really take hold of us and we decided to really see what God could do through us to grow this idea of what it means to be generous? Because I do believe that generosity is contagious. This morning, let's start with a passage from Psalm 37. I'm going to read this through and then kind of go back and unpack some of it. Psalm 37, I'm going to read verses 1 through 27. David, the psalmist, writes, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever." So here the psalmist, David, contrasts the wicked and the righteous. And the wicked, David says in verse 21, borrow, but they never repay. On the other hand, the righteous are generous. Scripture says that those who are generous are righteous, and they're going to inherit the land that God has provided for them. Now, in the Old Testament, that was a foreshadowing of what happened through Israel and what happened in the land that they fought about. But for us, moving into the New Testament, the church age, that land that we will inherit is heaven. It's God's presence, right? It's eternity with God. The wicked, David says, will be destroyed, but those who are generous, those who are righteous, will inherit the land that God has for us. David goes on to say that God will take care of the righteous. Verse 25 says, he's never seen those who are righteous forsaken. God is going to be there. He's going to take care of us. He doesn't say that we're going to all get rich. That's not what David's saying. That's not what Scripture teaches, but their needs will be supplied. And the result, look at verse 26, they are always generous. Right, so those who have been supplied, needs taken care of, their response is to be generous. And beyond that, their children become the same. Generosity is something that gets passed on to others. You know, Bonnie and I have learned a lot about generosity from our parents. we sort of were cut from the same cloth, had parents that brought us up in the church. And I've told you before that both sets of parents were generous. They would often go out of their way to help other people. We routinely had people staying in our house or living with us for a season. I don't know that personally I remember too many times my parents giving people money, but they wouldn't have done that so that others would know. Right, so I sort of assumed by who they were and hospitality. Now, hospitality is a form of generosity. It's not exactly the same as giving someone from your finances, but it certainly is giving of your time, your resources, your house, your home. Right, the Hebrew word used in this passage for generosity in Psalms carries with it the idea of mercy. Right, and we understand that mercy is not getting something that we deserve. And it's closely related to this idea of grace, which is getting something we don't deserve. So what David is saying is that we should be generous with others, not vengeful, not spiteful, not trying to repay them with evil, but with good. So I remember when I was young, when I was in high school, a young lady ended up living with our family. And she was in a situation where she didn't have a place to live. I think something ended with the guy that she was married to, and she had a young child, an infant child, and my parents took her in, gave her a place to stay until she could get back on her feet financially. Now, that's showing mercy, right? They gave her a place to live when she had really nowhere to go. But I also remember that my parents, this is one of the few times that I did see sort of money kind of exchange hands, and I don't remember how that came up. I don't know if my mother said, you know, this is what's happening, but they asked her to pay a little bit of rent while she was living with us. She could, you know, stay there, eat with us, do whatever she wanted to do. And I have no idea how much or how often. I would guess maybe monthly she gave them some money. But when she had saved up and was able to rent her own place, my parents had saved the money that she had given them over that year and gave it back to her when she left. It's generosity, right? That's who we're supposed to be. That's showing mercy and grace to someone. See, they had enough foresight to know that she was going to need a little money on the way out. They asked her to give a little bit. They saved it and gave it to her. And seeing that kind of generosity as a high schooler, it affected me. And maybe that's why my parents let me see, because they wanted me to learn about generosity. It makes me want to be more generous, because generosity is contagious. Do you notice the progression in Psalm 37? Verse 25 says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely, and their children will be a blessing. See, God is generous with us. He provides for our needs. And that makes us have the same heart for others. In the same way that these parents here in Psalm 37 passed down, right, that generosity, the indication is that they were dealt with generously from God. Their needs were taken care of. Then they were generous with others. And then it says their children will also be a blessing. It passes down from generation to generation. That generosity gets passed to our children and to others. If we're generous, it begets generosity in others. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. See, I think that as Christians, we should be the most generous people around. Because when you think about it, we have been given, and we should be aware of, right, and understand what we have been given. We've been given God's grace and mercy through Jesus. And all of our needs are supplied. Therefore, we should be generous with others. This morning, I want to share three things that define what contagious generosity looks like. First of all, we were not created to keep anything, right? We were actually created to give, and to give generously in this life. Studies show that we're not that good at giving. We're actually better at keeping. December 2005, an article in the New York Times, the headline said, study shows that the super rich are not the most generous. You may be thinking, well, that's how they got rich. They keep everything, right? Well, I don't know if that's true, but the article stated that the more money we make doesn't necessarily mean we give more. Actually, it means the less generous we become. Years ago, Bonnie and I had one of our neighbors who was a CPA look over our taxes, and she was an accountant and did a lot of taxes, and we had kind of done them. Bonnie's always kind of handled that in our family. She now, you know, we do TurboTax or Tax Slayer. I kind of like that one. Actually, we do them all, and then whichever one's better, we send that one. So Bonnie kind of handles that, but this was back when you had to kind of do it to pen and paper. And so Bonnie had done everything. She gave it to our neighbor. They were good friends of ours, Nora, and Nora looked over. And after she had them a day or so, she called Bonnie and asked about our giving, because that's part of, you know, it's part of what you record in your taxes. And she was surprised by how much we had given to the church that year. Now, let me just be very, very candid and very transparent. At that time in our lives, we were terrible at giving. Like, we messed it up more than we got it right. And I've told you that, you know, our life has not been a life of excellence when it comes to giving. We've kind of struggled, but as we've kind of been more disciplined, as we've gotten older, we've gotten better and better at it because it's a priority for us. And so, for full disclosure, at that time, we were a lot younger, and we were actually not that good at giving. So we struggled for a long time with our finances and how that plays out, and with discipline and all those things, mostly me. But even though we still had some room to grow in that area, it got the attention of our neighbor who did tons of people's taxes. And Bonnie confirmed that the numbers that she had given her were correct. And then Bonnie asked her, is that out of whack? I mean, is it out of line? Is it compared to what you're seeing? And our neighbor said, yes. So Bonnie said, I would have thought those who made more were able to give more. But our friend said something that surprised both Bonnie and myself. She said, actually, I find that those who make the most tend to give the least. You know, generosity isn't about how much you have. It's about the capacity of your heart to give and to be sacrificial. And I believe it's true even in the church. To be honest, Christian researcher George Bonner says that even though evangelical Christians, we would fall under that umbrella, even though evangelical Christians are among the most generous givers of all, less than 10% of them tithe to the local church. See, I believe that God created everything in this universe to give, not keep. Let me prove it to you. Ready? On the count of three, I want everybody to do something with me. We're going to do it all together. Ready? On the count of three, I want you to hold your breath. One, two, deep breath, three. All right, now keep it. Just don't give that away. Just keep it as long as you can, okay? We'll give it a couple minutes. Right, even the very nature of our bodies, physiologically, we're not geared to keep everything in, right? God created everything in the universe to give, not keep. When I was in youth ministry, we would play this game. We were in Hampton Roads, Virginia, and there's a lot of tunnels. You ever been through a tunnel up there? And a lot of those tunnels are, I think they're all about a mile long. You go under, it creates an avenue for the big ships to come in and out without having to open any bridges or build tall, really, really tall bridges. So what we would do with the teenagers is when we're getting ready to go through a tunnel, we would always tell everybody, okay, let's see who can hold their breath through the whole tunnel, right? So I'm driving, and I would take a deep breath, and some of the kids would play this game, and so some of the kids would kind of get, like, if we got near the end and they're, like, turning blue, I'd slow down, you know, for the last mile or so, you know, or last 100 yards or so, and they would finally end up. The other thing I would do is, because I was driving, the only reason was I would do the old butt breathe through my nose. And if you open your eyes and have, you know, like air in your cheeks, it looks like you're holding your breath. But I was breathing the whole time, like real shallow. So I would always win. But the point is this, we weren't created from a physical sense to keep our breath, right? So life is, in its essence, give and take. Inhale, exhale, right? Life in itself, the way God created this world, is not that we are to be keepers. We were created to breathe in and then breathe out. The creator of the universe created everything in this universe to give and not keep, to be generous and not selfish, right? Here's a principle that I want us to get this morning. Selfishness is destructive and deadly. What happens if you hold your breath too long, right? Eventually, you don't get enough air, oxygen to your body, and your body will cease to live. It's deadly. It's also true for us spiritually speaking, right? Selfishness is destructive and deadly. It always maims, it steals, it always kills, it always destroys, always. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, right? We're acting like the enemy. We're acting like the thief. We're acting like the devil when we're selfish, when we only keep for ourselves. Jesus goes on to say, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, generosity, contrasted with selfishness, generosity always blesses someone else. Always increases, always brings life, and brings abundance, always. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. So we're being like Jesus when we're generous. Here's another thing that's true. Everything in this life has a shelf life. You ever thought about that? Every package in your cupboard, every cereal or carton of milk or can in the pantry has a date on it. And manufacturers of those foods know that the food in those packaging is only good for a certain amount of time. Eventually, it will expire. You know, that's also true for us. One day, our lives will expire. The reality of this life is that we're here for a time, and then we leave this place. Right? And you know what you're going to take into eternity with you? Nothing. Nothing of this world. Right? Nothing of this world passes through, right, eternity into the next life. We're not designed to keep anything. So why spend your life hoarding the things that God has blessed you with? Let's learn to be generous. Second thing I want us to learn is this. When we're generous, God is honored and glorified. If being generous makes us more like Christ, then we should spend our lives honoring God by acting more like his son, Jesus. See, as a church, our attitude is, if we can, we will. What we do what we can to help those in our church family, in our community. Every year we spend more than $10,000, some years $15,000, in what we call our family care account. And it's our benevolence. And so if someone shows up here at church and one of our elders, Dan, who's here, oversees this, and he does a great job with a couple people helping him, a little team of our volunteers. But basically, they interview everyone, whether it's someone from our church family or someone that we don't know. They come, ask for help or assistance. And our attitude is, if we can, we will. And they do a great job of helping to the tune of some years $15,000. Dan, is that about right? Yeah. Why? Well, our attitude is that's who we're called to be. Right? That's who we're created to be. And it's not something we put on a billboard, right? First of all, we don't have enough money for that. But I wish we did. As our church grows, we'll allocate more and more funds to that so that we can just as much as we can, we want to do as much as we can for as long as we can. You know, we're one of the few churches in town that does that. Right? I mean, so, and we're not bragging or boasting. That's not why I'm saying this. I'm just trying to say, as a church, that's who we're called to be. That's who we're created to be. In 2009, we took a team to New Orleans to do a week-long mission trip. They were spent the week with an organization called Crossroads Missions, helping them rebuild houses that had been damaged after Katrina. Now, this was 5 years after Katrina. They're still doing work in New Orleans at that time and probably still doing work even still today. And I had a conversation with the guy who was running that mission or that part of the Crossroads mission there in New Orleans. And he said that in 2009, 5 years after Katrina had come through that area, that Christian organizations had pulled more than two times as many building permits than any other for-profit, you know, contractors combined. Like, if you add up all of the churches that went down and did work in New Orleans during those 5 years, it was double the amount of just businesses going in and pulling permits to do work in New Orleans. So what does that say? It says that the church came through and helped, right? The church showed up. When there was a need, the church showed up in a big way in New Orleans, and that happens time and time again. You see, when we're Christians and we're generous, needs are met, and lives are changed, and the world becomes a better place. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 24, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." So if we're serious about living like Jesus, then we should spend our lives giving, not taking, more specifically, not keeping. Right? There's a fine line, but it's similar, between, like, giving is one thing, okay? We need to be generous. But some of us get the attitude, as long as I'm not taking from someone else, then that's what God's called me to do. But actually, God's calling us to give, to be freely, right? To give freely, not just be keepers, but to give freely. Jesus said in Matthew 20, "Whoever wants to become a great among you must be your servant." And we know that Jesus didn't come to be served, but he gave his life for us. He says to us, become a servant. You want to be great in this life? You know, look at my example. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Be generous. And the final thing is this. I think we can learn to be generous. It may not be our default or go-to the way we operate in this world, and that's okay. We can learn to do so because it's embedded in us from the very DNA that God put in us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them." So if we're all made in God's image and God is generous, then we are, on a fundamental level, right, we're like God. We have generosity embedded into our DNA. It's imprinted into our souls. So don't fight it. Allow God to work through you and be generous in this world. Become who God purposed you and created you to be. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." And in Psalm 90, verse 3, okay, so in Genesis, we see that God kind of formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. And then he kind of reached down and, again, exhaled. He didn't keep. God was generous. He breathed the breath of life into Adam, and Adam became this living being. But in Psalm 90, verse 3, here's the other side of that, right? At the end of our lives, psalmist says, "You turn people back to dust," saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." So from dust we came, and to dust we will return. God formed man from the dust of the ground, and when we pass from this life, we're going to return to dust. Eventually, when our bodies are buried, they will decay and become a part of the ground again. So you're going to give back to this earth one way or another. And the question is not, you know, like, are you going to do it? That's going to happen at the end of your life, whether we like it or not. The question is, will it happen? Will we give back? Will we be generous? Not just fertilizer at the end of this, but generous for our whole lives. We were created to be givers, not takers. We were created to be generous, not keepers. And generosity is contagious. So when we see the generosity of someone else, don't be afraid or embarrassed by what you or don't do. Get inspired. When you see someone doing something that's generous, allow that to well up in you and for you to become, and let that grow in you. Jesus came in this world to give. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave," right? His one and only Son. So we were created to give, not take, not keep. And if Jesus is our example, then let us become more and more like him. Jesus said to his disciples, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." See, Jesus' example at the cross is the greatest example of generosity. He gave his life, and we should allow his example to move us to be generous, right? And if we do, then think of the impact. One act of generosity causes another and another and another, because generosity is contagious. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for loving us and calling us into your likeness and creating us in your likeness and calling us into your grace and mercy. And Lord, I just pray that as we think about what that means for us, that we are by nature, by creation, by definition, we are to be generous because you are so generous to us, even giving us the breath that we breathe, the life that we live. God, in response to that, I pray that you help us to be generous. And Lord, when we recognize your generosity or see someone else's generosity, I just pray that it would inspire us to be generous with others. That we would be generous, not takers, not keepers, but we would live our lives in light of who you are, and that we would just love and show grace and mercy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Relax your breath, lean into yourself. Here's what I know is true. Well, the sun hasn't left, the sea still has depth, the rain's still wet. Try not to forget.